I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester, his name is John Anelio, and you're listening to The Functional Nerds. This is going to be episode number 257, and yes, I'm back.
Yes, Patrick is back. We're glad to have him back. We missed you sorely, as people are, like, I think could have heard the sweat coming through their earbuds as I was trying to hold down the fort while Patrick was gone for those couple episodes. Thank you again to Christy Cherish for filling in for Patrick during that. That made life a lot easier for me and much more enjoyable, because otherwise it would have been just me ranting and going on and on and on. There's a fair amount of that anyway.
And I actually had and we talked about this last week, but I actually had a couple people who even sent me emails, you know, saying, "Hope everything's okay." So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, so we're glad to have Patrick back, and you can check him out at ATFMB and check out his website, atfmb.com, and all that good stuff. And I'm John Anelio. I'm a songwriter, a composer, a teacher, and a podcaster. Check me out at johnanelio.com. And today we are really happy to be joined by Alana C. Meyer. She's got her debut novel out right now, and it is called Last Song Before Night. She's also done a lot of writing for Globe Books, Huffington Post, LA Review of Books, Salon, all sorts of good stuff. You can check her out on Twitter at Alana CT, and you can check out her website, AlanaCMeyer.com. Alana, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you, Patrick. Really excited.
Alana and I met in New York at an event, like right when she got her book deal. So I'm really excited to see your book get out, and it's getting a lot of really nice reviews I've seen all around the internet. So that's great, and it's high up on my to be read pile. Why don't you tell people a little bit about the book before we get into anything else today?
Sure. Last Song Before Night is an epic fantasy. It's set in a world where art and magic are intertwined, and the protagonists are poets.
That's good. Good elevator pitch there. So then they have people to do that, and they go on and they like start describing their magic system and everything. But no, it's great. You know, this is one of those ones where, Tor's put out a lot of strong stuff this year. We're fortunate enough to get a lot of their books, and I've read a bunch of them already this year, and I'm looking forward to reading yours next. And there's a beautiful cover on this too.
I know. I'm so happy about the cover. Stephen Martinier is amazing.
Yeah, he does. It's a man, right? I'm like, because he's a French name, and I'm like, is it Stefan? Is it Stefan? And I'm like, I'm all like, oh my god, do I not know his name? But he does a lot of. He's done a lot of my favorite covers of the last few years. So, you won the cover sweepstakes, I believe.
I agree. This.
Today, I thought what we would do, because this when this episode will go live, this will be our last episode of 2015. So I thought what would be fun, instead of doing sort of a more traditional kind of show, would be if we all three of us, Patrick, Alana, and myself, picked our favorite books that we read in 2015. Now, I'm keeping mind to genre books that were published in 2015, but I think if you do that,
screwed.
Yeah, well, that's what I say, because I think Alana's picked books so it doesn't have to be genre, and it doesn't have to have been published in 2015, just if you've read it in 2015. I was trying to keep it to that, just because I've read a lot of books this year, so I want to kind of keep it to the ones that are in 2015. So, Alana, you are our guest today. Why don't you tell us what your number three book this year is?
Wait, what do you mean my number three book?
Well, I mean, if you pick your three books. You pick your three favorite books. What was your third favorite book that you read this year?
I have to start with number three.
If you want to start the other way around, I figure we'd like to take a countdown,
Okay, well, let me start with one. And, I don't want to get into rankings, because I'm worried about how that might sound.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Well, the third that you're going to mention today. Well, the first.
John.
I'm confused now. I confused myself already.
Sorry. Well, I actually, this is a little embarrassing, but for years I kept hearing about how amazing Angela Carter is. She writes these twisted modern fairy tales, and I never had actually read her. So this year I finally corrected that, and I read The Bloody Chamber, which starts with this incredible retelling of the Bluebeard fairy tale. And the language is just incredible. And so I was really happy to catch up on that this year.
Now is Bluebeard, do you mean like the pirate Bluebeard?
No, Bluebeard, the guy who like killed all his wives and like locked them in a room. And it's really creepy and gross. And the writing is, it's like this horror story, but it's because of the way she writes, it's gorgeous.
Wow, cool. So what's the name of that one again? So our listeners can go and check that out.
The Bloody Chamber by Angela Carter.
Cool. All right.
Oh, Patrick, and there's a new edition out now with an introduction by Kelly Link.
Cool. Awesome. All right, yeah. Patrick, what is your third favorite read of the year?
Well, and John, just so you understand, I can actually do mine in reverse order. And do you know why?
Okay. Why is that?
Because I'm Batman.
All right. Well, there you go. Who knew?
No, I've been having a lot of fun recently with How It Should Have Ended's Superhero Cafe and Villain Pub.
Okay. Online.
So, and the guy who does the Batman voice just cracks me up. And that's, cool. And that's his answer to everything. And so he got into this huge argument with Ant-Man because Ant-Man said, I can do it because I'm Ant-Man. He's like, no, I say that. I say that. Wait, did you say Batman? Anyway, I'm going to go with, I had a lot of books that I read this year. So number three, I'm actually going to do Diving the Wreck by Christine Catherine Rush.
Huh.
And cool. I got to meet her. We have chatted online forever.
She's great.
Which, as you know, John, that's the way it goes in our circles, right? It's like you meet people online and you chat forever and ever and ever. I absolutely love her Rush on Business blog, which she talks about the business of publishing, which is both the most informative and terrifying blog.
I was just going to say, I find it incredibly terrifying.
Yes, it is both. It's like it forces you to open your little naive author eyes to the world of publishing, right? But she was a guest of honor this year at Mile High Con, which, as you know, John, is one of my favorites. And I got to meet her for the first time. She's tiny. She is tiny.
You're a substantial man.
I know I'm a big dude, but come on. She's tiny. She's a little tiny. But anyway, Diving the Wreck is interesting to me. It's a space opera, but it's the premise was so different that it really stuck out to me. And I know it's been around for a while. And I think it was one of the Pyre books.
Yeah, I have it here somewhere. Yeah.
So Lou Anders bought it years and years and years ago and published it. And it's, you know how you have adventurers on Earth who go out seeking treasure ships and wrecks in the ocean, and they dive the wrecks and that's all they do. It's like they swim. It's the same kind of concept, only in space. And the main character is this adventurer who goes off and dives wrecks in space, and she and a lot of times she'll keep them secret so no other adventurers can find them, and then she charges touristy adventurers and takes them out there and will dive the wrecks with them and show them and let them have a little bit of a thrill. And she comes across a ship that is farther out than it ever should have been possible for it to be, and it's not supposed to be there, and it's a complete and total mystery, and she has to figure it all out, and then she becomes obsessed with this ship. It's a wow. great read.
Cool. Wow. Cool. My number three, and I will preface all of this by saying it's been a very Star Wars heavy year for me. When movies come out, I tend to just go all in on it. And fortunately enough, a lot of these books were sent to me, although I ended up buying a lot of those Star Wars books too. So this, my number three is a Star Wars book, and it is Dark Disciple by Christy Golden. And this book, there's a caveat with this book in that you really had to watch the entirety of the Clone Wars cartoon for this to really be meaningful to you. This book is basically, as people who maybe watched the Clone Wars cartoon know, it made it five seasons, and then there was a sixth season that they made about half of them. Disney bought Lucasfilm during that time.
No, and, Disney.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this, Patrick, but this was a small news story a few years ago. And when they bought it, they basically said, "Okay, stop making Clone Wars, and we're going to start another cartoon," which eventually became Rebels, which I like very much too. But because of that, there was basically a half a season that they did not finish. So this novel is a story arc that was from the uncompleted season. And it follows Asajj Ventress and Quinlan Vos and their relationship and sort of they're both sort of going back and forth between the dark side and the light side. And if you liked either of those characters on the show or in any, there were in other like comics and things like that too. This is a great book and it is a, you know, a real definitive story for them. And so if you were invested in that show, this is a great book. So that is my number three, Dark Disciple, written by Christy Golden. All right, Alana, what's your next book that you want to let people know about?
Is nonfiction okay?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I read this really great book and it was actually published this year. It's called Why Homer Matters by Adam Nicholson.
No!
What?
Oh, Homer.
Took me a second. Sorry. It means the other Homer. It's the one who wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. And I just found this really amazing. I think actually that any reader or writer of fantasy needs to check out this book. Because the way he talks about the Iliad and the Odyssey in terms of history and archaeology and mythology, it's just so fascinating. And I think it really gets to the root of a lot of the mythic aspects of fantasy. I just found it fascinating as a fantasy writer, and I really recommend it on that basis.
Now, does the book get into mentioning any sort of hero's journey stuff? Like what's sort of the structure of the book in terms of analyzing Homer there?
There are different chapters that are dedicated to different aspects. He talks about where the original characters of Homer might have come from, like what the island might have been like, what their lives might have been like, that would lead them to create this kind of story and draw power from this kind of story. He talks about the archaeology, the findings that have been discovered that can tell us more about these people. And he writes it in this very poetic way that is a really important part of the book, because it's hard to explain, but the way he writes is a really important part of conveying his message, which is this like very poetic, deeply artistic kind of message. So it's hard to describe, I guess. But it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I just found it was so good.
When did you first read the Iliad and the Odyssey?
A long time ago, actually, in college. So I didn't even remember anything. and you don't really have to for this.
No, it's just it's interesting that you read it in college. I'm not bragging here, but I read it in elementary school.
Oh my God.
And it's because the school that I went to, that was we used a lot of Greek mythology and Roman mythology. It just is part of the curriculum, so that was kind of cool.
So jealous. That's awesome.
This is not one of my picks. This would be an honorable mention, but because of what Alana just picked, I'm going to throw this out there. This was a book that I very much enjoyed this year, and that it's not my pick, but it's The Just City by Joe Walton. It came out in book number two in that series, just came out, and that is a story with Athena and Apollo as characters. The whole point behind the book is that they want to set up Plato's Republic for real. So there's nice. Like sort of time travel involved. They like sort of pick students from different times and set them up on an island, and they want to set it up kind of how Plato is, and Apollo makes himself human and kind of erases his memories and that kind of thing, so he can experience going through Plato's Republic. And it's a really cool book. It's very like, you know, a lot of all the Greek stuff and the philosophers, and it's very cool. So if you like that kind of thing, I recommend that one too. That's a Just City by Joe Walton. Patrick, what's your next pick?
Elizabeth Moon's Trading in Danger. And again, this is a little different take on space opera than I'm used to. And I think that's why it stood out to me so much. And it's essentially about a character who, the family business is trade in space, and they are known as shipping merchants, essentially, and they're very well known. They're the Vada clan, and they have a very good reputation. People know that when they take on a contract, the contract, number one, will be very detailed, and there will be no loopholes. Number two, that they will deliver on time. And there's sort of a tradition that when a new young member of the family comes into the family business, they're sort of tested and given a cakewalk mission to see what they do with it. And in this case, she is a former military cadet who is now kind of forced into the family business. And all kinds of adventures happen to her that don't normally happen to people, and the whole family's freaking out. And it's a really, really good read.
Cool. I'm gonna mention another Elizabeth Moon book, which had a lot of meaning for me. She wrote a book called The Speed of Dark a while back. Elizabeth Moon has an autistic son who I think is an adult now. As longtime listeners of the show know, my son is 9 years old. He's autistic as well.
Didn't we have her on at one point and talk about that?
No, you know what? We were trying to get that going, and I dropped the ball on that because you had some contact with her, and I think I just sort of sent out a feeler, but I didn't really follow up on it. So we'll have to get her on.
I had her on SF Signal. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Because I would like to get her on here to talk about that. But I read that book, The Speed of Dark, on around the time my son got diagnosed. And it was very meaningful to me because it's from the point of view of this autistic character. And it's sort of set in the near future. And, you know, in the near future, they have like a cure for it. And then there's all these ethical questions on whether this is, but isn't this who I am? And it's just a great read no matter what, but particularly if you have someone with autism in your life,
She's wonderful. She's a wonderful author. So, and just as a side note, John, have you been aware of the whole Santa Claus with the autistic child thing that went viral?
No, I will have to look that up.
Yeah, a young boy went to Santa, and he was he basically was very open with the Santa about who he is and about his autism. Mm-hmm. And from there, Santa just took it and ran with it and was incredibly kind. And a bunch of people are going, wow, this is the best Santa and all this kind of stuff. And it's really great. You should go check it out.
Cool. Yeah. I bet my wife probably knows it. She's on all like the autism pages and stuff. So she gets all that. So I'm sure she's probably come across that. So mm-hmm. Cool. I will definitely check it out. My next pick is, well, this is my, I've talked about this series quite a bit over the past few years, and it is book two in the Chronicle of the Unhewn Throne, and that is The Providence of Fire by Brian Staveley, who actually has the blurb on Alana's book right here.
Yes.
So I love this series. We had Brian on the show when book one came out, and
Brian is great.
I think in terms of traditional epic fantasy, I think this is among the strongest being written right now. It just checks all of the boxes that I love about epic fantasy, but still with a unique point of view. And, you know, it's got your hero's journey. What I always think of that first book in that series as being sort of a dual hero's journey between the two brothers. They're both kind of going on their separate thing, and then they kind of meet up at the end. And then book two gets much more into the sister and her journey, which there was a lot of criticism about that in the first book, that the sister did not get a lot of play in the first book, that her chapters were, you know, not as much. And I remember thinking when I was reading that book, and Brian kind of confirmed it, and I'm like, I bet it's going to be, you know, he wanted that in the first book, but they probably editorialize, like, we want to put out a 500 or 600 page book, not a 1,000 page book, so why don't you save that for book two? And that's exactly what Brian said. He's like, yeah, they didn't want me to put a 1,000 page book out as my first book, so that's why we saved Adair is the name of the sister in that book. A lot of her story for book two. So it's great. I'm really excited about the book. And book three is coming out soon. I just got an arc of that.
You're so lucky.
I know. I posted that and I got like so many people mad at me. Like Andrew Webtack was like, I don't have a copy yet. What's up? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I got a copy. What I got? So so you should check out both of those books. It's Emperor of Blades is book one, but The Providence of Fire was book two that came out this year. And I suppose book three will be out pretty soon in 2016. And I think it's going to just be a trilogy. I think that's it from what I hear. I think it's going to be the conclusion. So that's nice when there's a definitive end point for these epic fantasy series. Sometimes when they go on and on and on and on and on, people get a little frustrated. So it's kind of nice to see an end point as well. So that is
nice. George R. Martin.
Yes.
Excuse me.
No idea what you're talking about there.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
Alana, what's your next pick?
So I have a question, and it's okay if the answer is no, because I have other things I could talk about. But is it okay to talk about something that is coming out next year that I had a chance to read early?
Yeah, that's fine by me. And depending on the time we have, we might even get into some more books. So that's fine too. So yeah, pick whatever you want.
Okay. I had a chance to read an advanced copy of Guy Gavriel Kay's Children of Earth and Sky, which is coming out next year, I think in April or May. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge fan anyway. I love his books. And this keeps, you know, the tradition of his really exquisite writing. But it's different in that instead of focusing on like an epic scale, he focuses on the intimate lives of a handful of characters who are caught up in big events. And so it's kind of like shifting the like through the other end of the telescope. And it's fascinating to see that how that shift in focus brings out different ideas and different aspects of the story.
That is an author that is someone that I'm so sad that I haven't gotten to yet. It's
you know, not even one of them.
No, not even one of them. And I've had a couple sent to me. I've taken his books out of the library before, and then I don't know why. I think I'm maybe a little intimidated because he is so highly regarded, and I don't know. But he's someone that's. I have this thought, you know, because we get all of these new books, and I do try to keep up with the new books, but there are so many series out there that I want to get to. You know, there's part of me that wants to take 2016 and just be like, I'm going to read all these authors that I've always said I'm going to read, and I'm going to go and read all their stuff. That's probably not going to happen either, but he's somebody that I definitely want to get to. So cool. So that's coming out in 2016. So be on the lookout for that.
Highly recommended.
Cool. Patrick, what's your next pick?
It's a tie.
Okay.
It's a tie. It has to be.
Okay, that's fine.
So the first that I'm going to say is The Martian by Andy Weir.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
And I did finally get to see the movie, and I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. It captured the spirit of the book very well and the snarkiness of the character. And so I did enjoy it in that respect. I also was doing that thing where you sit there and go, oh, that didn't make it in?
Yeah.
Why didn't what that get in the movie? Why didn't this get in the movie? You know, that kind of stuff. So,
my big brother, like, I enjoyed the movie as well. I think you'd probably enjoy the movie more if you didn't read the book because you know how all the problems are going to be solved.
I took my mom and my brother, and they were ridiculously happy with the movie. They loved it. Neither one of them read the book.
Yeah, so I imagine and I enjoyed the movie. I'm not knocking on the movie at all. I thought it was a very good interpretation of the book. Yeah, there were a couple little things that they did that I'm like, that were different from the book. That I'm like, I wish they didn't do that. The one thing that I really wish they didn't do was, you listened to the audiobook of that.
I did,
right,
yes.
Yep. I did too, which I most people that I know that listen to the audiobook kind of think it really comes to life.
It does.
Quite well. Absolutely. There. And I don't know why the casting choice was made. I've heard different things about it, but I can't think of the character's name, but the one character in the book is Indian.
There's a couple things like that they did. Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't cast an Indian man. Yeah. They cast, I know who, I can't think of his name, and it was fine. He did a fine job with the role, but I thought a lot of that character's personality and a lot of that character's humor was a lot of it was really informed by him being an Indian character. So to kind of take that out of it, I think it really lost something in the movie.
Yeah.
For me, but that's a quibble. I mean, it was still good. And the actor who's there did a fine job.
But the book itself I love, and I did listen to the audiobook. So if you can, I suggest you go listen to the audiobook because the guy who narrates it does such a phenomenal job.
I agree.
My second book that's tied for first here is Nemesis Games by James S.A. Corey.
Ooh.
And that's the latest in The Expanse. As longtime listeners know, I started The Expanse late. But the benefit of that was that I had like four books to go through, right? I had four that I could go through. And then when I got through that fourth one, the fifth one, Nemesis Games, was not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent some emails. I got the publisher to rush it through production, get it up online immediately, just specifically for me. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I had to sit there and wait. And I sent James S.A. Corey a tweet, and I said, look, I'm waiting on the next book. What should I do now? And they, of course, replied, our friend Sam Sykes says you should buy his book.
Oh, that's great.
And then Nemesis came out, and I got to read through that, and it's wonderful. I love that whole universe. I love what they're doing with the characters. If you haven't started The Expanse yet, you definitely need to.
I'm two books in on that series.
Good.
I've read Caliban's War. I want to get to the next one soon.
Abaddon's Gate.
That's next up, right, for me.
And then Cibola Burns.
Yep. And then
see, I know this stuff, John. Yeah. I know it.
I know.
I'm sitting there watching the pilot episode on YouTube of the new show, and I'm going, I know this show. Don't screw it up.
How was the pilot?
It was great. I like it.
Good. I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm sort of waiting until like the whole thing just, you know, till the series starts showing, and then I was going to start it all together.
Starts on Monday.
Yeah.
Childhood's End.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that, too. All right, my favorite book, I just finished this book, so it's probably color because it's fresh in my mind, so that's why I'm picking it, but I loved it, and it is another Star Wars book, and it's actually one of the YA Star Wars books. It is called Lost Stars, and it is written by Claudia Gray, and I've read pretty much all of the Star Wars books that have come out this past year, keeping up with the canon, and I've enjoyed all of them pretty much. None of them were bad. I really enjoyed them all. But this one, I think it's the best. I think the idea behind it is wonderful, and a lot of the ones that have come out have been this. You know, they're being marketed as a journey to the Force Awakens, and this is the one that I think actually earns that title. It's told from the point of view of two characters that are not in the movies. It goes through from the time they're children. And then they both end up going into the Imperial Academy, and they get trained in the Imperial Academy. And as the events of the book go on, so it goes from the time they're kids to the time they're, you know, adults in their 20s. And it, as the book goes on, once you get into it, it starts hitting the major events in all three of the original movies. And, you know, eventually one stays as an Imperial, one goes over to the Rebellion, and it's told from the point of view of those two characters, and they hit all those points. And it's so awesome to see from different characters' perspective, and from the Imperial side, and from the Rebel side, and from people that are like, well, the Rebels aren't all great either. And I think it was just really wonderfully done. And the way the last part of the book, now I haven't seen the new movie yet, obviously, but just from the trailers, there are certain things that happen in this book where stuff in the trailer is like, oh, really? So they do sort of try to bridge it. So if you're going to read, if you only read one of the Star Wars books that are out, if you're interested in it, really read this one. I think this is really strong, especially if you love the original trilogy, and who doesn't love the original trilogy? It's great. So Lost Stars by Claudia Gray. Do not be fooled by the YA tag. It's, I mean, there's nothing about this that screams YA to me. There's, you know, I mean, I always kind of feel any YA book I've read, I've always sort of felt like this isn't really YA. I guess there are certain things in it that make it YA, but it does not read like a YA book.
And,
so that.
And John, you said you've kept up with the canon, the new canon.
Mm-hmm.
It's been kind of a very well-kept secret. Not a lot of people know that apparently our friend Chuck Wendig wrote a book in the new Star Wars canon. Not a lot of people have read it or reviewed it on Amazon yet.
It's pretty obscure.
There's not a lot of details about the book that have made it out into the public eye yet. But it's out there, and I guess you kind of have to search for it, but you can find it, and it's got some stuff in there.
Do you think it has any Amazon reviews yet?
I honestly don't know. I mean, it's gone completely under the radar.
I love Chuck's book too. I like that one a lot too. But I just this one just really it just really got to me. I don't know. And I'm seeing it now. I don't know when the book came out. I feel like it must have just come out because I'm starting to see like Tor wrote a piece about it.
And John, I apologize. I just received an email from Chuck's agent. I'm supposed to say New York Times bestselling author Chuck Wendig.
Oh right, yes, we were warned about that before. Yeah. But yeah, this one I think is really starting to get the press it deserves now. And I just thought it was great. And it makes me want to read more of Claudia Gray's books, because I just thought she did a fine job with it. I really do. And I'm always so curious with these too, like how much with these kind of books, when you're writing for you know, a property like this, how much is left to the author? How much is, you know, do they just give them an outline and say, yeah, knock this out? Or is it, hey, do what you want, and then we'll check it out later? I'm sorry, Ilana, what were you going to say?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I have friends who are Italian authors. And from what I understand, they usually, they write their own outlines, but then that outline has to be approved.
Mm-hmm. It used to be pretty draconian. Mm-hmm. To the point where an author of a Star Wars tie-in piece, if they came on a show like ours, had very strict instructions on what they could and couldn't talk about. And It's funny because I've had a couple of them on SF Signal prior to Disney when it was just Lucasfilm. And they're like, yeah, I could talk about this, this, and this, and this. And the one thing they couldn't talk about was their Star Wars property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last month I wanted to have like a Star Wars month where I had like all different creators, and I reached out to a bunch, and most of them couldn't do it. Or you know, some of them might just been scheduling and all that too. But I just thought like, oh, that'll be great. We'll get like 4 or 5 stars.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. It
didn't happen.
Did you happen to see? And I put it up on Facebook. There's a comedy troupe did a video about you know like your standard date night movie about the couple that broke up and then they're trying to get back together and all this kind of stuff. The premise is, what if Star Wars was the woman who had it all, but lost the love of her life? And so the two main characters are the female who's Star Wars and the love of her life who's the fanboy.
Oh, okay.
And they broke up around 2005. Can you guess why? Because of Jar Binks.
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's like this comedy film, love story film, like every Hollywood love story film that you've ever seen. And mm-hmm. you know, it's how she's doing a makeover to get herself back, and she goes to her best friend who happens to be J.J. Abrams, and he suggests the makeover and all this kind of, the video is hilarious, John. You should go check it out.
I will check it out. I think we have time to maybe put in a round of honorable mentions.
You have 5 minutes.
Okay, so let's do some real quick honorable mentions. Ilana, do you have another one ready?
Okay.
Okay.
The King Must Die by Mary Renault. It's like extremely old and it's amazing, and every human being should read it. It's about the myth of Theseus.
Is it based on a song by Elton John?
No.
Okay.
No, it was written in like the 50s or something. Anyway, it's like, I'm obsessed with this book. So everyone has to read The King Must Die, Mary Renault.
Cool. All right, Patrick, what's an honorable mention for you?
I'm trying to think of No Man's a Shakespeare. <Na-na-na-na>.
That's good. Patrick.
And the jesters and dance upon the crown that you once wore. Yeah. Robot Uprisings.
Oh, okay. That's John Joseph Adams' anthology.
Yes,
that's
it's
a good
an anthology
one, yeah.
By John Joseph Adams. Has a ton of people in there. I always struggle with short stories and short fiction. This one is very good. There's a couple of really good pieces, including one about a robot that essentially wakes the guy up every morning, and it's all from the robot's point of view, and he's like, you know, okay, it's now 33 seconds before you wake up. Your nose is going to flare. You're going to do this. You're going to rub your eye. Yep, there you're doing it again. And it's just like the hatred of the robot growing to kill its master kind of thing. It's very good. So Robot Uprisings.
You know, I was going to pick something else, but now, you know, I'm going to piggyback on yours. Then I'm going to pick another John Joseph Adams anthology, and that's Press Start to Play. That is the anthology of short stories about video games. And I really love that one. It was really cool, especially if you kind of grew up in the 80s, and there's a lot of really interesting sort of parallels to that. And just talking about games, there's a lot of really great authors in that, too, who don't always often write short stories. So I really enjoyed that one. So that's Press Start to Play.
No man's a jester. Playing Shakespeare round the throne room floor. I remember the song.
All right.
The King Must Die.
No man's a jester playing Shakespeare round your throne room floor. while the jugglers actors danced upon the crown that you once wore.
Excellent. Well, I feel happy now that we have Patrick
back.
It
was going to bug me, so.
Yeah. Well,
that was my fault. Sorry. Yeah.
All right. Well, so to wrap it up, once again, Alana's book, Last Song Before Night, it is out now. You can buy it at your local bookstores. You can buy it online on Amazon, and you can buy the ebook, and you can buy the hardcover. Is there an audiobook for it yet?
There is.
All right. Do you know who does the narration of the audiobook?
I can't remember her name.
I shouldn't ask that. I always ask that, and then I feel horrible because I'm like, no, they don't know it. Then they're going to feel bad that they don't know it. I'm so stupid.
Oh, don't worry. No, they asked me if I'd be okay with an actress from Ireland, and I was like, yeah, sure, okay. So she reads in a very lovely English accent, not Irish for whatever reason.
So she didn't go out there, you know, get little people.
Yeah, I would have been a little worried about that, you know, because I have trouble understanding that stuff half the time myself.
Everybody's always after me, like charms.
So, yeah, so you can get it in all those forms, audiobook too. I know a lot of our listeners are big audiobook fans, as a lot of podcast listeners are. So go buy, if that's your thing, go buy the audiobook. Buy them all. Buy all three. What's the problem there? Do that. And again, you can check out Alana's website, which is just alanacmeyer.com. And your Twitter is at AlanaCT. Is that correct?
That's right.
Awesome. Good. Anything else you want to tell our listeners about? Do you have any con appearances coming up? I know you kind of did a little tour recently. Do you have anything coming up in the coming months?
Oh, wow. I actually don't have plans for the coming months.
Okay. Now, when do we have a timetable on another book coming out or anything else? Or are we all just focused on Last Song Before Night for the time being?
Do I need to send your publisher an email?
It was a 3-book contract. Mm-hmm. I'm working on the second book now, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll come out in 2017. Not sure yet what the date will be.
Very good. Very good. All right. Before we start wrapping it up, I do want to take this moment to thank our Patreon backers. We have, as of the time of this recording, we have 34 people who back us every month, and we are so appreciative of it. It's really breathed new life into the show and really... just make Patrick and I feel so good. And it's not even just the money. We're glad to get the money. Don't get me wrong. But it's just that people are listening. People are enjoying the show. You feel like you get enough value where you give us a little bit of money each month. And to those 34 people, thank you very much. It really means the world to us. And if you enjoy the show and you get value out of the show and you get some entertainment out of the show, please consider joining those 34 people and backing us. You could do $1 a month, just to help support. It helps us make the show better. It gives us a lot of nice extra things. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/functionalnerds and you can check it out. So please go and do that. Patrick, anything else you want to mention before we wrap it up here?
Nope.
All right, everybody. Alana, thank you again.
Thank you.
Hope you have a great new year, and we will see you all next time.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?